It's been almost 5 years since we started this journey of building a software tool to liberate and educate entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. This podcast reveals the tips and strategies we and our fellow entrepreneurs have used to start, build, grow, and scale their companies. My name is Dave Woodward. Join me as I take you behind the scenes so you can hear what works, what doesn't, and the strategies being used to get your message out to the world. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I am so excited. I've got a dear friend on the show today and a guy who I'm so impressed with. I've watched him and some of the stuff he's been doing. He was with Russell and Dean and Brendan and all the other guys down in Puerto Rico and had the opportunity of kind of connecting there and bringing him to you guys here on our Funnel Hacker Radio show. This is one of the things I was so first of all, welcome to the show, Mr. Anthony Trucks.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited, man. I'm genuinely excited. Like, I enjoy talking to you for some reason. You're just a good dude. I like it.
Well, honestly, Anthony, one of the things is we're kind of doing some research on you. I was so caught. We talk a ton about hooks and pattern interrupts and things. And I was going through some of the stuff. And the very first thing I'm sitting here reading was, please tell my children who their father was. Mm-hmm. That was the text message that my 28-year-old me had written to send to my loved ones as I drove in search of rat poison one Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man. So understand what we're going to talk about here is one of the things that Anthony is just a master at, and that is shifts and helping you guys really understand identity shifts and income shifts and all the things that you really have such an impact in your life. And as I read through the rest of your bio and everything else and just finding out as I talked to Russell about you, Anthony, I'm so impressed with where you came, but more importantly, where you've gone to. And for those of you guys who don't know Anthony, and this is a guy's college football scholarship, played for the NFL athlete, basically has played for the Buccaneers, the Redskins, Steelers. One of my favorite shows in the world is American Ninja Warrior. This guy is an American Ninja Warrior athlete. But it was fun as I kind of looked at some of the stuff. I love the fact that you're happily remarried
with
your high school sweetheart. So,
yeah.
And you've got three amazing kids. We already started talking about the idea of the fact I've got four kids and all that fun. But Anthony, I've been doing enough talking. So why don't you kind of fill in the gaps of things I left out and let people know more about you?
Yeah, man. Well, gap is great. The gap's the word that I use a lot. And I feel that a lot of people nowadays, we have these aspects. We always have this conversation in our head of like, man, I thought I'd be farther along by now. And there's always a separation between what I really want at some far distant point and what I'm doing to get it. I just can't seem to close the gap. I literally call it an identity gap. And in my life, I've had many of those. Like, I was given away into foster care at 3 years old, adopted by an all-white family at 14. So I was 11 years in the system, 8 years with that family. So a lot of craziness in some homes, things that like I don't even enjoy sharing and talking about because it's things that like really kill souls. I was a product of an environment that that people don't make it out of. Like foster kids, like if you look at any prison in America, 75% of the inmates are former foster kids. If you look at the homeless population, you know, 51% of the homeless population in America is former foster kids. Less than 1% graduate college. So numerically, I was never set up to do well. And I learned at a young age just how important it was to have a belief in myself when there was no reason to. Because most people don't grasp that you have to believe when you have zero reason to at first. And then past that, you have to work like you have it before you know you'll be successful. And those thoughts for me always became these levels where I would just push to the next stage. Everybody always asks, do you always want to play in the NFL? Like, to be honest, I really wasn't a kid that really cared about the NFL. Like, I just was like, I want to go to school and have fun and I want to go play sports. And what it was I always looked at the next level I wanted to go to. Because we could always see that level, right? We can't always see 7, 8, 9. We can see the next level I want to go to. And it was always a level of like, why can't I reach that? Why was I just, at first I sucked at football. But like, I want to get to that next level. And so what I found throughout my life is it was one level of I'm a horrible athlete to being a great athlete. Then I was a college athlete. I was a young dad at 20 years old. My first son I had as a sophomore in college. It was not supposed to happen, but it happened. But it was my best mistake of my life, we'll call it. I love my family to death. Then, you know, I went through, you know, the NFL and I lost my career in the NFL. And then I had to figure out like big identity crisis of who was Anthony without football. Then I lost my health. I lost my marriage. That's when I drove off one night and I was like, I just can't handle this. And every single level of my life, I navigated by comprehending that in order to get to that next level, something has to change. And we all know that, right? And this was my experience with gaps before I even knew what in the world they were. And so I kind of ache it's like a simple metaphor of like, imagine like a vehicle, a car. If I have this nice car, let's say it's a cherry red Ferrari, because I, you know, cherry red Ferraris, who doesn't want one of those? If you get that thing into first gear, what we do is we put it in first gear, we press the gas and we take off. takeoff, right? And what happens after a while, like the engine gets like to revved up, we're at red line, it's about to blow up, right? Or like the gas just starts getting burned up quickly. And one of two things happens in the car. You run out of gas, you explode, or both. And then I started like looking at life and how this happens. And what happens in a car is if I want to accelerate, I just have to shift gears. I shift the gear, the car goes faster, engine slows down, gas consumption slows down. Well, if you make it to your life, right now a lot of people are redlining because they're stuck in first gear, running out of gas, and frustration is going to force them to explode. And the shift doesn't take place in new tools and techniques and information because there's abundance of that nowadays. It happens in you closing the gap, make an identity shift, which puts you into your second gear so you can actually accelerate. And the energy slows down. So it's like I'm not burning myself out and going crazy. Like it almost goes to flow. And then at the same time, like I have more motivation for longer. I don't burn my fuel up. And that's the work I do now. It's a blast. I work with entrepreneurs. I work with moms and dads. I have like Amazon executives. And really what it boils down to is taking through a really specific process to figure out what one, your ideal identity is you want to shift to, then how to close the gap to reach your true full potential. When that takes place, man, life is beautiful. And that's what I am genuinely so grateful and blessed to have. Like my shift allowed me to fix my marriage when I lost it. I'm now a present father. I make way more income. My businesses have done very well. And every level was because I got to a space where like I was stuck. I hit what I call an identity wall. And the reality is with all the information out there, people don't have a problem with the information. They have a problem with doing what they're called to do of the steps in front of them. Like in your business, I know you have a lot of people, like you lay it all out. Like I've never seen people so clear on what to do. And I'm sure you have people you're like, it's right there. Why don't they just do it? It's because that step is a wall for them because they don't see themselves as that person yet. And it takes a lot of energy and they run themselves ragged. And when you go from being a person like, this is me trying this thing to I'm the person that does this thing, you go to a whole different flow. You level up way easier and things just tick much better. So that's kind of like my structure.
Go ahead. So tell me, what are some of the first steps on, because again, we've got over 90,000 customers and we literally have every people who are literally just starting out to some of them who literally are this year could be hitting almost $100 million in revenue. I mean, it's just literally the entire gamut. And yet been fun as I talk to different people, no matter where they are, they get to a certain level of success based on their current belief patterns, but they get stuck there. And I love what you were talking about is, you know, I didn't see myself in the NFL. I just saw myself. I just want to get to that next level. And I can see that. But how do you actually get people to actually take those actions to get there?
One of them is ego. It's a massive problem for people. Ego literally in my book stands for everyone's greatest obstacle. And so the ego is the thing that's not just like I'm the greatest, but it's the thing that when someone says, hey, you could do this better. No, I got it. I'm good. I know what I'm doing. And it's like the biggest wall, right? And so the first thing you have to do is literally accept that you have a problem. Like, it's like AA, accept that there's an issue, right? Just because you've had success, it doesn't mean like you're going to be on a success path forever, that you have to be stretched. And most people get to a point where like, they're not stretching themselves anymore. They're not, when I say stretch is like a level of discomfort. When you stretch your physical body, it hurts, but it opens up new mobility, new flexibility. You can create more power, run faster for longer. So when your life stretches and you feel that stretch, you can do more, go faster, go longer, make more. And so the biggest thing for people is they don't first accept there's an issue. And then for me, the first thing I do after accepting with people is we literally go in and we dissect what is wrong. Like I've accepted it. Now I give myself permission to work on it. And I dissect what's going on. That's the hardest part. Because you have to actually look at yourself and say like, ah, I got to work on that. And that's like, people hate doing that. And I don't know why they do. I get why they do. I'm saying that, but I know why they do. I don't like doing it. My wife will tell you, I hate hearing that. And then what I do is after I've dissected what's the issue, I discover not only what I need to work on, but I go and seek the people above me that are doing certain things. And what I love about the world nowadays is there's a lot of great minds sharing great information, but people are looking at the top level of what they're sharing. And they're not realizing that like, think about, Leschel talks about this of going and blazing the trail. Don't be a pioneer. Don't blaze the trail. And I love that. I love that concept. But at the same time, he did that. I mean, like, that's the funny part. And what I tell people is there are individuals who succeed and have $100 million and those who don't. And the reason is because those people went out and they pretty much just took off and rolled. And they found some way to make success happen. Then they come back and tell you how it happened. They create the strategies. And so the strategy is a byproduct of your identity. You're the person that just figures it out and shares it. And so when I try to get people to look at how to get to that, it's not just saying, what are they saying to do, but what kind of person comes up with that? Like, what kind of person does that thing? And when you figure out what that thing is and how they operate behind the scenes, how they think, how they talk, how they act, the stuff they tell you, hey, read a book every single week. Why don't you do that? They're telling you what's there. And when you can start doing that to a level where it's not just something you're trying to do, but you feel awkward when you don't because it's now who you are, that's how you get the people to close that gap between the 100 million, 10 million, whatever it is, or $1. It's literally go and find out how to be more like that person from an autopilot stance to where you're triggered to think that way, not triggered to be like, no, I can't do that because of this, 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 and this. Because those people just, they find solutions before they find excuses. Like, it's just the way the brain is tuned. And it's the simplest way. It's like, you ever seen the TV show Westworld?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Westworld, man. It's a great show. Think about this. Westworld has these individual robots that are all like this robot. They pick, you know, assembly line, kick them out. What's the difference in the robots that allows one to be a cowboy or a little kid or a seamstress? What's the difference?
I totally forgot.
Programming. It's the programming. That's literally it. They're programmed to be this or programmed to be that. It's a programming. We are just like the robots, but organic. We were programmed unintentionally to think a certain way, believe a certain way, operate a certain way. And so what ended up happening was we just got to a point of we didn't realize that we were stuck in first gear because our programming is bad. And so there's a massive opportunity in upgrading your software, which is your identity, to then close that gap and make so much more happen. So the first step, which is a long answer for your first question, is start by accepting you got a damn problem, man. Like, just say, okay, I got to work on something. Dissect what that is. Discover what the next stages are you have to go into.
I love it. You know, one of the things I was looking at, actually went through, you and I were talking about, was on your page and your funnel, basically, one of the first steps in your funnel is this whole idea as far as your income identity. Mm-hmm. What exactly is income identity and why does it matter?
So it's the literally determinant of whether or not you make money or don't make money. And it's the beliefs you have about money. It's the way you look at money. It's whether you demonize those who have money. Because what some people do is say, oh, those guys with money, they're bad guys. So what do we never want to be? A bad guy. That's what we never get. The things the bad guys or girls have. And so just some of those things we don't realize is, am I looking at how do I make money because I need money? How do I make money to give back? How do I focus on this idea of someone want to really provide for the world and the byproduct is money? Do I hoard money and never spend it? Because I think money is like a current, like they call currency. You got to put it out and it comes back to you in droves, right? So it's got to be a current that keeps flowing. So you got to put it out. But people are like five-figure identities are like, I got to keep it. I got to save it. Can't let anybody have it. But those who are the seven-figure, they're consistently getting it out places and spending it and put because they know how to make it come back. There's a flow and a feel. So if you want to make more money, it's tied to your identity, which is, it's more to go into. We can go into like in a full breakdown today, but it's comprised of what I call identity anchors, which are your traits of your personality that happen without you thinking about it. They just operate. And it's all those micro decisions, micro actions, micro responses that will depict what you do and what you make in life.
Oh man, I love that. I think I was so fascinated by this whole idea as far as a five figure, six figure, seven figure income identity, because I've seen that with so many people where they get stuck. And I was having this conversation with my boys. There was a time where I was stuck literally in five figures. I could not break through that six figures. And then when I broke through six, I went from like 100 to 300 and I was in that range. And then I got stuck in that area and I couldn't get above 300,000. I'm like, what is going on? And it goes back to a lot of the stuff you're talking about as far as mindset and belief. But for me, it was again, finding who are the people who are at six, seven figures and how do I get that identity? And then once we broke through and hit the seven figure identity, it was fascinating just to see, again, I remember, you know, Tony Robbins always talks about this whole idea as far as, you know, it's a 2 millimeter difference. It's those little micro commitments. It's the micro decisions and stuff that you said you make. You're a good, you and I both have common friend in Dean Graziosi. And I was looking at some of his stuff today. He was out going for a run. Dean and I are about the same age. And he was talking about, you know, he got his mile down under 7:30. And I'm like, man.
7:19.
7:19. You saw the same post?
I saw it, man.
And so I was sitting there, I'm going, you know what? Because my wife's an avid marathon runner. And I mean, just lightning fast. And so we were in Atlanta last week with Dean and Russell. And we're sitting there talking about this whole idea about running. And I'm like, I got to get back in shape. And I hate running. But just because I saw him do it at 7:19, I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to be a sub 8 minute miler. there was a time when I was sub six, I got to get back to that kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, I'm just because I saw him do it. It now gave me the belief that, you know what? It's not age. It's all my other false beliefs. They literally just fell away.
Yeah.
And so I think it just ties into exactly what you were talking about, where it is those, it's those beliefs. And sometimes you just don't know what they are.
No, and, they compound.
Yeah.
We're really good at telling people stories, ourselves included, that allows us to sleep good at night. Like, we're built to do, like, literally, when somebody says, hey, can you, no matter what they say, our brain goes, what's wrong with this? Like, can you take me to the hospital tomorrow for some, well, I can't because I got to do, and we start thinking of everything that we can't do. And we get to have great excuses so we can go back to that comfort zone. It really ties back to that comfort zone, right? We get to, as humans, what's called homeostasis, our comfort level. And there's a great book called Power of Habits. Power of Habits, yeah, Charles Duhigg about this. And he talks about how, like, there's a homeostasis. If you're at a high level, if something slows you down, you kick back to a high level. If you're at a low level and something kicks you high, you get uncomfortable, you sink back down and settle in. And so for us, we find a way to get back to what feels comfortable without consciously knowing that we're doing it. And we make good excuses. We find ways to direct stuff or, like, remove ourselves from situations. But it's literally the discomfort that is a massive indicator of growth and shift. And when you are in a space where you seek that level, like, you're not going to die if you have a conversation with someone. You're not going to die if you go run, unless you run into a car. But, like, you're not going to have these things happen. But we seek the discomfort for so many areas of our life. We don't understand that those affect certain places. Because what's cool about it is, I think Brandon Burchard talks about the habit clusters. When you have one good habit or one good area, everything else attaches to it and won't let that thing be wrong. So think about, like, if you were to start running and getting that self down, you start seeking excellence. I want excellence. I want to get this 8-minute mile. Well, now you're like, well, man, I don't want to mess this up. I feel good. I'm going to start eating right. Okay, I'm going to start eating right. Cool. You know what? I want to make sure I can go faster. I'm going to start running better. If I'm going to start running better and eating right, I'm going to be seen more. You know, I probably want to buy better clothes. If I want to buy better clothes, I got to make more money. I got to get a better job. And it starts to all just kind of sink around in certain areas. And it's all from, like, just running. Right. And so if you start understanding, you can, like you said, let everything fall away from one belief changing, everything trickles down differently.
So where do you start?
With what?
With, again, so we'll use my example here as far as running, because I have a million false beliefs about running. Again, talking to guys, American Ninja Warrior, football player, NFL, a whole type of thing. Running's been a part of your life. Mm-hmm. So for me, there was a time when I ran a marathon because my wife has been running marathons. And after that, I literally stopped. And it's because of all the pain I have associated with that. And now all of a sudden I see this image of Dean running the 7:19 mile. And I'm like, okay, that's the first thing. How do I then start breaking down all the other false limiting beliefs I have around running?
Yeah. So if we target the running aspect, and we'll try to make this make sense for everything else, the first step's always, like, having that goal, which I think you've got. It's like GPS, right? I want to go somewhere. I can't just say, here's my starting point. Where's destination? I don't know. Well, I can't make a plan, right? So I got to say, what's my starting position? And I always have that be in college, had this thing of play 1 inch out of control. Shoot for goals that are 1 inch out of the realm of comfort. Don't go crazy, but, like, don't say, like, I want to beat Roger Bannister's time. Like, it's unrealistic, right? But, like, I got this goal. I want to break 8 minutes. Perfect. Cool. Now what I do is I look at the concept that our brain will quit when it's overwhelmed sometimes. Like, we don't even know what's happened. We'll just find ways to quit and make excuses, and we'll just procrastinate. So what I do is I literally go through a process of saying, okay, along that journey, first, what are the things that you need to do to prepare for that? Do I got to buy new shoes? Do I have to, you know, go and set a course to run? Do I have to set time aside to do this? Do I got to get an accountability partner? Big thing, right? So I look at the little pieces. And before I just show up on Monday, like, I'm going to go and run a faster mile on Monday. Like, you'll show up on Monday and you're like, you'll have bad shoes. You're trying to run in jeans, get that little pocket of butt sweat. Like, it'll look funny. so you got to plan out, like, what are the different segments, and then spend some time preparing before, like, plan before you go. And then what happens is we're going to naturally see, is there going to be things you run into that are problems, which is, okay, I can't run an 8-minute mile now. Like, how do I build into that? What does that look like? What are the factors? So one of it may be, one of the steps, maybe go find a coach. Go find somebody who's done this before and can give you the guidance, right? And literally what a coach does is say, okay, cool, you're here. You want to go here. Here's your plan. That's it. The plan is a big piece of it. And so what happens is, as I see this plan, I'm going to naturally see obstacles. And as you look at the obstacles, I say in advance, okay, here's the obstacle. How do I overcome that? How do I think through that? How in advance, before you hit it, realizing
that,
one, you might never see it. It may never be an issue for you, right? But just plan out, because it does two things. One, it allows you to show up at that moment if it takes place. And now I know how to get past it. I'm like, oh, I got this. I'll keep going. But if you show up to that moment with zero plan, you're like, oh, I don't want to. I'm gonna go back and get some McDonald's and go watch, you know, Game of Thrones on the couch. We'll just revert because I don't like dealing with that. But also the other thing is it teaches me how to overcome it in the moment if I'm not used to it. If it's like, okay, cool, I know that, okay, I can quit, but okay, I know I had this plan before. Let me think through this new way of doing it. Let me try this, okay, cool. And then I try something new and I go. This is an identity piece of I'm a person that now solves problems in the moment when they come up. And then when you start doing that, you bring a tool along. Like it's like a tool bag, right? I got a little box of tools in my back. And now I got this tool I bring to the next level of my life, or the next level of that path. And I'm probably going to have another similar problem, typically a little bit harder because it's closer to my goal. And I now have another tool and I can say, okay, I got this tool. Let me help with this tool to take this another problem apart and fix it. Okay, cool. I get another tool. I move on. And the more I go across this path of my life, running, relationship, whatever it is, I'm gathering tools only because in the initial portion, I had a plan of how I would overcome the initial thoughts of problems. And I just gather tools and more tools and more tools. And I develop myself, I develop my identity to eventually, one, you have all these tools that you can use later on. But two, we are humans based on investment bias. We don't like to invest in an area and not get a return, period. That's why we'll stay in relationships for far too long. We'll stay in businesses that are failing for far too long. And so what I say that is we get into a point where you want the return of your investment in something like an effort like that to be a return. And my return is that's who I am. Like when you get to the end of that journey of your person, like you'll be like, yo, I'm a sub 8 minute miler now. That means something because now you're not trying to run a sub 8 mile minute. You are a person that run a sub eight minute mile. You have an ownership around it. And what happens is that new identity you have gets surrounded by like this invisible shield. And that invisible shield's actually your ego. Everybody calls it a bad thing. Like your ego is this negative thing. It shows up. Like we talked about earlier, it can be bad, but it's also what allows me to be great. Like you're a great dad. So great dads do great things. If my kid calls, I'm picking the phone up. Why? Because this force field's going to make this ego actions. This is pretty much your actions. Will do the things to protect this identity, good and bad. So if it means I got to show up somewhere, you know, fly across the country to help, I'm going to do it. That's what a good dad does. My ego shows up in the actions, but it happens because you stay the course, pick the tools up, solve the problems, anchor your identity, shifted, and close that gap. And like, that's not who I am. And that's how you get to that next level.
Dude, I love it. So as soon as I get down to my sub 8 minute mile, I'll send you a call. I'll give you a call. We'll meet up in that.
Like a signed little bib from like a marathon.
That's what I'll do. I'll do it from, I'll go out and run a sub 24 5K or something.
Sign there you go. Good luck with that. I did a half Ironman earlier this year and never again. My wife, she's like, she does weird things too. She's having me do a physique competition right now. So I'm eating like bird seed and dog poop. It's ridiculous.
But you're looking good.
Dude, I'm trying to get, man. Feel good, man. I'm not going to lie. I feel good, but I don't, that doesn't taste good. But
now that's part of your identity. It's becomes it.
Yeah. It literally does. And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. So I fight this because in my head, I have this concept of people who do physique competitions are egotistical. It's very vain. And I've had this conversation. And I used to own a gym for many years and I was around it. And I was like, oh, I don't like those people. Right. And then I'm like, oh, I'm becoming those people. But just like the money concept, I realized, like, dude, it takes a lot of discipline to eat like that. To train like that, to be able to operate in a certain level of your life and still do that. I have a lot of respect for people who are in phenomenal shape and killing it in business. Like it's difficult to do.
I totally agree.
It's part of their identity. It's who they are. So you'll know there's a gap for you if you look at somebody who has something you want and you think to yourself, oh, they're special. They're just different. They just operate differently. That right there is a humongous red flag if you've got a massive identity gap because you do not see yourself at that level, which means you'll never have what they have.
Oof. Painful. But true.
True. I live in it too, man. I live in it too. I'm not going to lie.
Well, Anthony, I know people are going to want to get more of you. So what's the easiest way for people to reach out if they want to start working on these gaps and their own identity?
Yeah, man. Best place to go to trucksteam.com. So what my team does, which is a really cool thing that I've helped craft with them, is I go through what's called a strategy call. And we really help people get clear on what their identity gap is, why it exists for them, what shifts they have to make, and then really get clear on where they're trying to go because we try to get them to think a little bit like one inch out. And you can go to trucksteam.com, hop on a free call, and talk to people, kind of get a feel. Obviously, at the end, you're going to walk with a little bit of a strategy. You can choose to work with us. Not everybody does, obviously. But those who do get their results much faster are much happier. And I'm so excited about working with them because they get to see things unfold. Like, it's one thing to do videos I do and put in the world. I don't always know what they're doing, but like when I get people that reach out, like, holy crap, I got my first client in her business, right? Or a person that's like, I really, my wife and I are doing amazing. Like, I have one of my clients who had a conversation yesterday. He's had a big issue with the marriage. He's like, my wife and I are doing great. I'm like, hell yeah. Because I got to a point where, and it's like, it's what you find is you get to a certain level of life where you've had some success. The next tier you're seeking is not for more success. It's the success is, can I get that person to have success? And can I get them to get that joy? And then you get to share it with them. And it's super cool.
Oh man, I totally agree. Nothing excites me more than seeing people using our platform, having success, and then having their students have success as well. It's that legacy type of building. I just, oh my gosh, I just love
it. It does. Genuinely changing the world. It's cool.
Ah, it's awesome. Well, as we get close to wrapping things up here, anything else you want to tell people or share with them?
Yeah, man, at the end of the day, it's all, I mean, the way that I look at my process, really basic and the statement that I love is own your shift. That's it, own your shift. That's the acceptance part. Like in the beginning of it, own your shift. Own you got some craziness and some problems going on. And then own that you're the one to do the work. Don't lean on somebody else. Like you can get help, but no one's going to help the person. Like the lifeguard's not going to help a person swimming away from the dock. Right? They want to help the person swimming in. Yeah. So own your shift that you got something to work on. Own your own work. And then own that shift at the end when you've made it and you've got that shift. Own that. That's who I am now. So own your shift. Literally, it's emphasis on all three of those words. And that's what I love sharing, man. It's starting with that basic concept of no matter what it is you want to achieve, it starts with your programming. So shift, program, kill it.
Man, I love it. But Anthony, thanks so much. I can't, again, huge appreciation for all the stuff that you're doing in the world right now as far as helping people make those shifts. Again, look forward to talking to you real soon.
Yeah, man. Take care.
All right. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Right now, as we're going on our journey to 100,000 users, we really want to invite you along. And one of the ways we can invite you along is we want to find out what you think about what we're currently doing. So please rate, review this, share this with others, take a picture of this and post on Instagram, tag us in it, tag Funnel Hacker Radio or tag Dave Woodward. We'd love to know what your thoughts are. And most importantly, the ways that we can actually help you journey to whatever number of users or customers or community you're trying to build. Remember, you're just one funnel away.